So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing Season 8, Episode 5 of Happily Ever After. In this episode, Rob turns the tables and gets Sophie apologizing to him. Gino and Jasmine find a compromise over the lawyer situation. Patrick and Thais, and also John, get ready for a trip to Brazil. Emily mothers Kobe way too much during his handball game. Ashley reads tarot cards instead of feeding Manuel. And Nicole really makes things awkward for Mahmoud and her friends. We'll be back again next week to talk about episode 6. And we'll also be back on our other channel, Love After Lockup MK, covering the new season of Love During Lockup. Alright, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy!
Mr. O.
Hello, Miss H.
How are you today?
I'm okay. We have recording late today because I had some coaching duties to do, and that's not going so great. About as great as the season of 90 Day Fiancé is going so far.
Gosh.
So that's not so not great.
Okay,
so far.
Bad. So very bad.
Pretty bad so far. I think we got most of the hard teams out of the way though, so we're ready to get into gear for second season, which is probably more than I can say for being excited about the second half of the 90 Day season.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's start off with a couple that's really not having a good time, and that's Sophie and Rob. So Rob has unbuttoned his shirt to have this confrontation with Sophie, and Sophie says that they were in a relationship, her and her friend Callum were in a relationship for a month when they were 15, and just nothing happened. Rob says if she was upfront about the information, he wouldn't have thought anything of it, but the fact that she hid it makes it suspicious. He sees Callum as her ex, although Sophie doesn't even consider him an ex. Sophie keeps apologizing, and Rob tells her she needs to keep it real. The friends and Callum see the drama, so Callum goes outside to check on them, since things look like they're getting heated. Rob says that his ex left him for her best friend. Callum repeats Sophie's story that, you know, they dated for a month, like when they were 15, and nothing happens, and Rob just basically tells him to leave. Sophie hugs Rob and keeps saying she's sorry, but it's, you know, their situation, her situation with Callum is not his ex's situation with her best friend. Callum thinks that Sophie needs to be more confident in herself. As a sidebar, he also says that he would be open to dating her again if the opportunity arose.
Oof.
Yeah. Rob says he wants to go home and Sophie wants him to stay, but he leaves anyway. The next day, Sophie feels bad about messing up the previous night. Earlier that day, she had a talk with Callum about how much contact she has with him. Callum says that she can't just cut him out of her life, and Sophie says that she's married and she has to respect Rob's feelings, so for the time being, they'll just need some space. She is choosing her marriage with Rob over her friendship with Callum and hopes the gesture will smooth things over with Rob. They meet up on the street to check out the bats because they live in Austin and the whole bats coming out are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rob likes bats and he's more scared of Sophie than of bats, he says. He seems to think that Sophie needs to do something to win him over after what happened last night. Sophie apologizes once again about not being transparent to Rob about her friendship with Callum. Rob tries to guilt her some more, and Sophie tells Rob about her conversation with Callum. Rob feels like there is hope, but he says that he can't fix it alone. Sophie looks him in the eye and says that she really is trying. Rob then asks when she's coming home, and she tells him tomorrow. She thinks it might be one of the last chances she has to fix things, and she just wants them to be good again. Rob feels like their talk was successful, even though they didn't see any bats. And the reason why they didn't see any bats is you could tell just by, like, it was too dark.
It was already dark. Yeah.
It happens at sunset.
Right.
So it's like, dummies, like, it already happened. You're mm-hmm. not going to really see at least a flock of them flying
right.
around, like,
sure.
mm-hmm. what's supposed to happen. Anyways, do you think that Rob is kind of milking this for all it's worth, or do you think he really is legitimately this upset?
No, I think he is like, upper hand. I have it. Now she has to make it up to me. Score.
Yeah.
It's an entire manipulation just to get her to the point where, and she did, where she's like comforting him and she's like, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And now she's like, well, I have to try to get him back. When at the end of the day, he's still the one that fucked up.
And
he just got it completely
cheating.
Turned around, and now she's the one that has to apologize to him. Like, that's, it's ridiculous. And she just got manipulated by somebody who has a lot more experience than her.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of felt that way too, because I mean, and she feels so guilty, and it's like, well, she feels so guilty because he's the one guilting her.
Right.
Like telling her, you know, like what she did was shady. And granted, she probably should have been upfront.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she legit didn't do anything wrong. You know, like it wasn't like she was carrying on this secret relationship with Callum the whole time. Like that really is her best friend. And I'm going to just assume that it's platonic unless proven otherwise, you know, as opposed to Rob. Known cheater, online cheater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's and the fact is, you know, Callum is clearly like just holding in there, right? He's like, he's definitely just trying to wait out this divorce and be like, well, if anything happens, right? So he's not the greatest dude. And like his, Rob's concerns are all legitimate, right? The fact that it's like, it seems suspicious that you thought you didn't need to tell me about this, right? Mm-hmm. But then he just takes it too far. He just tries to not only equate what they did to each other, but also to make hers be worse than his. His repeated online cheating. Now you're worse. This was worse. This was worse than that. And why was it worse? Because my ex. And then that does that, like holding her responsible for how he feels about the way his ex treated him. That's not her responsibility.
No.
Like, that's his responsibility. He needs to deal with that shit, not her.
Yeah, definitely. Just Rob just annoyed me this whole time, because it did kind of come off as like kind of smug, like what you're saying about, you know, like him having the upper hand in this situation because Sophie just happened to most recently do the last wrong thing.
Right. Yeah. And then she just, it's frustrating how like easily she just falls for him, how easily she's just manipulated and is all of a sudden just being such a sickly sweet, like, oh, I'm so sorry, baby. I feel so good. There's a hug. It's going to make it better. I'm like, oh my, it's frustrating to watch somebody do that and be like, no, stop and think what you did. And
well, yeah, it's especially frustrating because you know that even when Rob was caught doing whatever, that he's not apologizing a bazillion times like Sophie did.
No, he didn't apologize. Well, he does the I'm sorry but all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah, and just about the lack of respect. And that's literally all he wants from this relationship, is for her to be sucking up to him all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure, which is ridiculous. And oh, my gosh, it's just
not good. Don't like this guy.
Yeah, so, same.
Moving on to other – I'm going to save that for the – I'm going to save the end for the one that was that. Let me just go to Jasmine and Gino next.
Okay.
I want to end with the one the episode ended with, because that was wild. So Jasmine and Gino, which was more predictable, I guess. So Jasmine has just run out of the photographer's studio, you know, after being upset about her kids from last episode. And Gino's trying to chase her down. But she's ignoring him and not saying anything until she finds a park bench to sit on. So she tells him that she's dealing with depression over the situation with her kids. Then through tears, she says this is the first time she's seriously meant it and considered going back to Panama, because she feels like there's nothing here for her. Her kids aren't here. And even Gino isn't here, because he's been giving her the silent treatment. So Gino tells us in an interview that he just thought this whole time she was just being melodramatic. But now he's really worried.
Shut up. I hate this guy.
There's ample of evidence that, like, when she freaks out, like, she's being melodramatic a lot of the time.
Yeah, but still, it's like, why do you think that, you know, one of these times isn't going to be legit?
Yeah. So he's really worried now. So he asks, like, how can I convince you to stay? And she says that he needs to start working on the visa right away, both the travel change of status for her, that's going to add her kids to her K-1, and the travel documents so that she can go back to Panama. So he says that he will do that, and he'll also run the paperwork by a lawyer before submitting it. So the lawyer wouldn't do the paperwork, but they would look over the paperwork.
Yes,
which is
finally
a compromise.
Finally, this is a compromise. My goodness.
Yeah. So then he asks how they can get back to normal again, and apologizes again. So I guess that problem's dealt with, even though Jasmine is like, it's going to be hard to forget about this. So to make up, they have like a makeup dinner, and they're on their way for guess what kind of food? Italian food. So he thinks things are going well as they're playfully talking about whether or not they went to a salad bar, and that does that count as a dinner date? Because she was like, I don't know when the last time you took me to dinner was. And he was like, I took you to that salad bar. So
God. A salad bar at the grocery store?
Was like, it at the grocery store? I missed that part.
No, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. If he's talking about a salad bar like at the Whole Foods or something, no, that I does not meant, count.
Because he said you could go back, I thought. I was like, oh, yeah, just the salad bar at the Whole Foods where you weigh it. And you're like, oh, yeah. At the Wegmans. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, then she does the, she gets out a big thing of fettuccine and does the Lady and the Tramp thing, and it's kind of gross looking, but anytime they touch each other, it's kind of gross looking. Yeah. So anyway, Jasmine then expresses her gratitude about all that he's done for her and the visa and you know, everything that he's done, which is what he was looking for last episode. So then he brings up another something that's been bothering him, and that was when they were having the fight, Jasmine telling him that he's really not ready to be a father. So Jasmine says she only said it because it's mad, but he kind of wants to double check and make sure, like, but you didn't mean it, right? Like, you don't mean that. And she kind of hems and haws about it because she asks, and then she kind of turns it around on him. Are you sure you want to be a dad? Because kids are exhausting and you're old and I'm old and kids are exhausting again. So he says he's still serious about it and doesn't understand why she keeps asking these questions about whether he really thinks he's ready. So in an interview, she said she feels bad about telling him this, but she doesn't really want to have a baby right now because her kids are in Panama. Her mom's sick. It's just too much going on. So that kind of leaves us with here. So do you kind of think that Jasmine really is all about like, well, I don't know, there's too much going on? Or does she really have that feeling that he's not going to be a good father and most also not going to enjoy being a father?
I don't think she wants to parent again, to be honest. Yeah. And I feel like – so, okay, I don't think Gino's going to be a terrible dad because he actually is the one who wants to have kids. But what I can see – and I mean – and I say this because I feel like this is how I would think about it. You know, like if you're kind of like – it's exhausting having a child, right? Mm-hmm. I would want a partner – who would be doing most of the work, or at least to offer to do most of the work.
Sure.
And the reason why is because, like, as being the mother in the situation, there's biologically some things that the dad cannot do.
Right.
And so if, you know, they're committing to do majority of the work, maybe it'll even out in the end, right?
Right.
And if he's the one who wants the kids so badly, I feel like he should put in more of the effort really with, you know, raising this child, because she doesn't really seem to want to raise another kid, you know? And so it's like, that were me and I was kind of in a position where I don't really want to raise a kid, like, but if you make it easy for me, I can get on board with that.
Right. And so you think this is just kind of her way of asking and be like, are you going to do most like 90% of the work? Because for her, I'm not even sure, right? There's a good chance that, you know, the part you're talking about where it has to be the mother, it doesn't work all the time, right? And especially with her implants, I don't know what's going on there, right?
Well, I mean, but even the part where it's like, you know, your body goes through all the changes.
Yes, for sure. You're the one who has to carry the baby. Yeah. And I was thinking about, you know, after the baby was born, for sure, is generally when people refer to that, it's like the breastfeeding the father literally cannot do, right? Feedings they can, but there's no, you know, they're reliant if you're – if you're doing breastfeeding, they're relying on that. They're relying on you pumping. There's things that they physically cannot do, right? Everything else they can physically do.
Well, one thing I could kind of see, and I'm not saying, because I mean, we haven't heard them talk about this at all, but I could see Gino just being a really deep sleeper and Jasmine just being like, oh, wake God, this wake motherfucker up. Isn't going to wake up when we have a kid. It's going to be all me. And like kind of having a, I don't know if he's getting like really ready for fatherhood. He can't even wake up when I'm trying to roll him over because he's snoring badly, you know? Like that's how I envision that situation and her being like coming to this realization like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be the one who has to do all the work. But I mean, I feel like this is all kind of a moot point because it's like, doesn't she think that she can't have kids?
Yeah, she thinks she might be infertile. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's also a kind of a way out. If she can convince him, do you really want kids? And that doesn't have to come up. Right.
Yeah.
Because, you're right. I could see the tired Gino. But I also see like when you just came off of a long stretch of him giving you the silent treatment, Like, right. You cannot give children the silent treatment. Like, that's abusive.
Well, you can, but that's like, not like, good parenting.
It's inappropriate and bad parenting to give children the silent treatment, right? And that's – and he just – when he gets grumpy in the way he treats her, she's kind of like, are you going to treat our kids this way? Because I sure as hell hope not. This is not acceptable. And like – but it – not having to say that. But you could be – it could be that. It could be these, just – this is her way of getting around the infertility question.
Yeah. But I mean, like, honestly, just the way that these two fight with each other, like, that poor child is going to grow up in, like, that kind of environment. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's just that that's the whole thing. It's like, forget even them around. Yeah, I guess it is just them around if you go to that, because it's literally this is not a difficult compromise to think of that they got to.
Oh, right? I know, right?
I will fill it out and show it to a lawyer. That will cost less than $5,000.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's going to take that lawyer 20 hours, a billable hours right. or whatever it is to read that. But, you know, and that at least there's a lawyer involved and somebody double checks it. Like that seems like a very reasonable compromise that most people would have come up with by sitting down and talking about it for like an hour. Or not even like 20 minutes, instead of going through the silent treatment and her breaking down and, you know, having bouts of depression and all these things, crying. It's like all of it could have been avoided if we just talked to each other like adults and didn't accuse each other. And it could have been done right away. And it's just – and so if that's just the stressful environment that you're putting in your house, and it's not a good place to have kids in.
No. Definitely not. Well, I was thinking more along the lines of like the way that they scream at each other.
Well, the screaming. Yeah. But the screaming isn't good, but they both have ways of mistreating each other that can be loud and quiet. Mm-hmm. And the kids just being witness to them treating each other like shit in various different ways is not healthy for that kid. And it's not going to be healthy for that kid's future relationships.
Yeah, definitely not. All right, so let's move on to our next couple, Ashley and Manuel. So they are at the baggage claim in New York City, and Ashley is clearly is excited as she is singing about bags in Spanish. Manuel is also excited, but he's like foreshadowing. First, they eat. Ashley says he's hangry, and Manuel agrees that, yeah, he gets that way. They're going to meet his friend Jonathan for coffee. They're fighting over what they should be doing because Ashley wants to make coffee, but Manuel wants to eat. Ashley points out that they can't eat right at the moment anyway because they have to shower. And Manuel doesn't care. He just wants her to do whatever it is faster so they can eat. Ashley then decides, okay, even though you want me to do everything faster, let's take a detour and pull out some tarot cards. Ashley says that the cards are telling her there is irrational emotion. And Manuel says that the cards are right because Ashley is being irrational by wasting time when he just wants to eat. He then prays to God to send him a piece of bread. Ashley is nervous about this trip because the cards also said that people, they're just not working together. She says that the cards are never wrong, as Manuel moans that he's going to die of hunger. They are planning on meeting up with Manuel's friends, Jonathan, not for coffee now, but for dinner. So Ashley is hoping that he cheers them up. As they are walking to dinner, they see things that seem familiar to Manuel, and he's thinking Ashley can go back to Rochester by herself. He wants to stay there. Jonathan is talking to them at dinner, telling Manuel that there are so many Ecuadorian things there, and there are festivities to celebrate Ecuadorian Independence Day. Manuel is excited about this and wants to join in the festivities and asks Ashley if he can stay, but she wants to be there too. But Manuel says that she's not Ecuadorian. She says that she considers herself Ecuadorian since she's married to one. He tells her to live her own life and he'll live his. Ashley then tells Jonathan that she wants to feel like she's part of his life, which is why she wants to meet his family. She claims that he's always on his phone. Jonathan says that, oh, yeah, I'm the one who talks to Manuel on the phone a lot. But Ashley is looking him in the eye, asking if that's really true. And Jonathan seems to want to lie for Manuel, but can't bring himself to, as there's a lot of, like, weird exchanges, like, made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Ashley then says she feels like there are secrets She then asks if Manuel still talks to his baby mama, and everyone seems silent before he says no. Manuel seems annoyed that she doesn't trust him. Jonathan then tells production that his ex still talks, still asks about him, about Manuel to Jonathan, but Jonathan isn't trying to complicate Manuel's life, so he's just kept it to himself. Manuel says Ashley looks through his phone when he's sleeping and he thinks that's sick. He says that he's social and she should just let him, considering he doesn't really see anyone else in real life. He says that if she has a problem with his phone, that's on her. All right. So do you agree with Manuel? If she has a problem with him being social, that's her problem and shouldn't be his.
Yeah. I mean, more or less, he should be a little more. I don't know. I was thinking a little more open about who he is talking to, just to put her at ease, like that it's not other women, like, you know, because that's what people tend to jump to. Right.
You
know,
right. Right.
You can just be like, and just give him a name. I don't know, Scotty boy. Like, how do you know him? I don't know. Through friends, like he's like a buddy of a buddy, whatever. I don't know. I'm talking to him now. Right. Just give her a name. Like, I feel like she would be more satisfied. I don't know. I don't know if she would be satisfied. Because I also feel like then she would be like, well, where's Scotty boy from? I don't know. Well, is he married? I don't know. Like, because that's the kind of social relationship I imagine Manuel has, right? He's going to talk soccer. He's going to talk things about home. He's going to talk stuff. Like, nothing personal is going to come up. And she's like, well, how good of a friend can you be with this guy if you don't know anything about him? He's like,
yeah, that's a good point. Because at first I was like, well, you know, what does he mean by being social? Who is he being social with? Is he being social with men and women? But you're right. He's not having any kind of emotional affair with anyone because he can barely open up to his wife.
Right. And so if he was going to have an affair, it's going to be a sex affair. He's going to get some action. He's not going to be out there sharing deep secrets and emotionally betraying her. He is just going to be trying to get some, for sure.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. She should trust him because, I mean, at least she has that. She knows that physically, like, there is no cheating, right? Or actual cheating. Mm-hmm. But, well, okay, something we also didn't think about. Like, he could be exchanging nudes with someone. That doesn't require a deep emotional connection.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I don't know. I also feel like he's not, I wouldn't say not clever enough. He just doesn't care. I can't imagine him caring enough to cover it up. Like, like, you know, just being like, whatever. Like, oh, man, these are my things. Like, and part of it, I think, is I really do think he just wants to have – I do think he just wants to have the boys. And it's like, what? I talk with the boy. I don't want to tell you what I told him. I don't want to talk to you about who I'm talking to. I just want to have my dudes that I hang out with that aren't you, right? And and she just can't accept that he wants there to be part of her – he wants there to be a part of his life that she's not a part of.
Yeah. She does seem like very ill matched for him, given that, right? Because she seems like she needs to be all up in his business. Right. And he's just not like that. He's very distant.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that's the idea of it. Like, well, I'm Ecuadorian, too, because you're from Mexico. He's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Nope.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm also that way, too. I'm like, nope, you're not. You are closer to the Ecuadorian community than I am, right?
Right.
You are not Ecuadorian. You are not from there. That is a very big, big, big thing to be putting in your mouth, right?
Yeah. So I
relate.
They're just a very ill-matched set of people.
And I'm going back to the hangriness because I relate because I get hangry, right? And I'm old enough and Manuel is old enough to know how to deal with that. I just have to have a snack. I just need a snack. Give me a bag of Doritos or something to hold me over. It'll put me in a better mood. We can get there. And she was just like withholding that completely so that she could just literally waste his time.
Yes. That was really frustrating because I wouldn't really say that I get so hangry. But at the same time, I do get annoyed when people aren't being efficient with their time and there's something that I want to do.
Right. Yes.
Right. And that's kind of how I saw it. It was just like, oh, well, we have to shower. It's like, do we? Like, why? Right.
And it wasn't like he was asking for a big thing. He was just like, well, why don't you hop in the shower and I'll go down. You're in New York City, man. There's food literally yes, everywhere.
Right.
Like, you can't take three steps in New York without eating food. And I'll just go down, even if it's in the vending machine of the hotel, I will just grab a snack while you take a shower. She's like, no, absolutely not. That is off the table. But I'm going to make a cup of coffee before that we take a shower. And then we're going to have, he's like, why are we doing that? Like, just.
Yeah.
Let's
why
go.
Are we reading tarot cards for why whatever are we random tarot cards? Reason?
Right. Yeah. Tarot cards, which are always right. Like, I just, it's wild. It's like, yeah, the tarot cards that you interpreted and then you and then you act like that to make them right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it was pretty infuriating. Oh, the other thing that infuriated me about it with her is her calling him like, oh, you just need to grow up. You're seeing such a little baby. You're just a little hungry. And I was like, lady, you burst into ugly cry tears every time you're in a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
And you're calling him a baby.
True.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if she was withheld coffee, that would be her. Because that's her thing, right? She always has to have coffee.
Well, and the thing is like, she wouldn't acknowledge it. At the base of it, she wanted to take a shower and he wanted to eat. And she was as bitchy and moany and like petulant as him about taking this shower that he was about eating. Right. But she didn't see it that way. She saw it was just him being difficult.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, I have, let's do Emily and Kobe. So it's raining in Cameroon and Emily is talking to her mom about the date night she had with Kobe and how it ended all weird because Kobe told her about his friends being concerned that, you know, he's not going to be able to be with an American woman. And Emily is feeling awfully judged. And now they have to go out and hang out with these people where they're going to a handball game. They're all friends from a handball team, which I think is news to us. So they get to the match and Valerie, the one friend that we've met a few times, is there. And Kobe tells us how good he used to be at handball. He was like, this is like a semi-pro handball team he was on. Well, they said professional, so I don't know how professional. But anyway, he thinks this is the kind of the perfect opportunity and the perfect day for Emily to prove to his friends, you know, that she isn't like the bossy American that she thinks she is, and, you know, prove him wrong. So he introduces her and they give each of them jerseys, even though it's only Kobe that's going to be playing handball today, not Emily. So Kobe has to wear a knee brace because he's recovering from an ACL surgery. So then the game starts and we see Kobe score a goal. And then later in the same game, we see him have to pull up because he aggravated his knee. So everybody's worried that he may have really seriously re-injured it or re-tore the ACL or whatever. So he thinks that maybe he re-tore it. And while he's sitting on the bench, Emily comes over to be like, well, did you re-tear it? Well, maybe you should elevate it. Well, maybe you need ice. Well, maybe you should do this. And he's just like, go away. It's fine. Go away. No, yeah, whatever. Because, you know, wife knows best. So it really was exactly the kind of look he didn't want to have in front of his friends.
Yeah.
Like, not really helping the situation, really trying to mother him and make him feel babyish. So she leaves, goes back to sit with her parents, and the teammates tell him, well, that wasn't proper. These white ladies just think they can do whatever they want. But, you know, if this is going to work, Kobe needs to do whatever he wants because he's a Cameroonian man. So anyway, he's still defending her, saying that, you know, neither of their cultures are going to overshadow the other one, but also throws out there that she should probably be doing better right now. So the friends think that, you know, nope, you are not going to be happy in married life with this woman. So once the game is over, Kobe tells us that he's frustrated that Emily treated him like a baby, and she goes and ends up having a conversation with this group of friends without him. So she wants to get along with them and change their minds about her. So they tell her that when he left for China and then later on the U.S., he was a tough player to replace on their handball team. Then Emily straight up like just says, well, I heard you guys had a problem with our relationship. What about that? So they own up to it. And, you know, they said they're concerned that he's going to lose his dignity like in the Cameroonian culture, just like how you came up and nagged him about I told you so with your knee and you should elevate it. It was just super embarrassing for in this culture. So she doesn't understand why this culture is like this. Caring about your husband isn't bad. And she feels like they aren't giving her a fair shot. So the other thing that's wrong with this relationship in their eyes is that they live with their parents. So here we have Kobe, who's a grown man with a wife and a family that isn't the head of his own household. And that's a big problem. So she says that she's trying to understand the culture, but she doesn't want them filling his head with any silly ideas. That's just, I can't even. Okay. So Valerie lets it slip that when he went to China, and that's where he met Emily, by the way, and also I think he got her pregnant while they were in China, right?
Like, yeah, okay. Pretty fast.
Yeah. So, but that he had left a girlfriend in Cameroon who apparently thought they were still dating. So was he cheating on her with Emily? I don't know. So Kobe said, especially because Kobe never mentioned his girlfriend when they hooked up or whatever, and he said he was single. So she feels like this might just be – she's not sure what this is. It could be the friends just trying to sabotage things, but maybe Kobe was hiding something. All right, so we kind of leave it there. So this is what's wild to me. Like, does she not realize, like, that she's saying, like, the stupid belittling things when she says, I don't want him filling his head with silly ideas? Like, that sounds exactly what misogynist people say about, like, in the 50s. Well, don't – oh, you don't talk to them. They're going to fill your pretty little head with all kinds of thoughts that are going to – like, that's literally the same language they use. Does she not – understand that she sounds like this? She not hear herself sounding like that?
I don't know. I feel like she certainly lacks empathy and like being able to see things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, okay, I get that it's not like you don't think much of like, you know, going up to Kobe and saying like, oh, you know, like saying about his knee because you care about him. Mm-hmm. I get that that's her perspective, right? But what I don't get is how she can't look at what she did after someone else points it out and be like, oh, yeah, I guess that did kind of seem very motherly and that mm-hmm. could be embarrassing, you know, for a grown man to be mothered by his wife. And she's like incapable of even seeing it from that perspective.
Right. Yeah. No, it was like I was like, and she's also incapable of like reading the room. I think Kobe made it pretty clear, but he was like, no, you should just go sit down. Like, it's fine. Go sit down. Right. And implied with that was we'll talk about it later. This is not the time or the place. Just this is – and – it kind of is weird. Like, sports events are weird things. And I've, you know, had a few things like today in my game. One of my players was injured and her, like, father came down. But it was like, if she wasn't like, it's fine, go sit down. If he said, it's fine, go sit down, it would have gone sat down. But it was like, okay, we're going to go take this and get x-rayed. Then the dad was like, okay, well, I'll just take her now. And like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's the asking for help versus not asking for help. It's not wrong to be there to support your partner. Telling them how to care for their injury when they didn't ask you for it is not support. That goes beyond that. That's the mothering part.
Yeah. Yeah. But for someone else to tell you what to do with your body.
Right.
I don't know, especially in front of other people, right? And there's that whole thing about like it's different how you talk to someone like behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a little bit more open. But I mean, like, how does she not get that it's not – and she like tries to play it off like it's a cultural thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I think even in America, that would be embarrassing.
That would be embarrassing. If I was, if I had to come out of a basketball game and was sitting there and my wife was like, are you okay? Are you okay? Maybe you should raise your knee. Maybe you should do this. Did you put ice on it? Like, that would be. Now, if I went and was like, oh, and I like called her down and was like, oh, can you get me some ice? I need like, it's hurting. That's different, right? But to be like, nagging them about, well, this is how you should be taking care of it. This is how you should be taking care of it. While they're literally on the bench with their team. That's weird.
Right. Yeah. Yep, that's not just a Cameroonian thing.
It's not. It's not. But that, you're right. It's a bodily autonomy thing.
Right. That goes
Now, granted, the other thing that goes with this is these friends, it's tough to listen to them because they sound super racist. They're just like, well, here we go, white ladies being white ladies. I was like, oh, God, let's maybe take a break from telling me what white ladies are like and what Cameroonian men are like and just generalizing this is a big thing. It's very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also tough if like this is one of their very few experiences with white women.
Right. And,
and she's pretty much playing into every stereotype that they think
she
about.
She is. But they're just like, we've known other Cameroonian men that have married white women. And they all just wear them down. It's like, oh, God, this sounds awful. Like, can we please have a more nuanced approach to this topic?
Let's move on to a couple that is new to us this week. And that is Thais and Patrick. So, you know, I think almost every couple, they try to do some kind of funny intro.
Yeah.
So Patrick is reliving his weightlifting days with his six-month-old daughter, Elise. He says that Elise needs to also start training. Patrick has recently had knee surgery, and Thais is annoyed that he got hurt playing flag football, and Patrick thinks it was worth it because the pass was a touchdown. The family is planning on going to Brazil, and Thais is also annoyed that Patrick will be injured for this trip. They recap their relationship, which is basically Thais being annoyed with John, Patrick's brother, being in the picture. Patrick sees the biggest issue with their relationship as Thais's dad's lack of support in their relationship. They got pregnant pretty soon after they got married, so they're excited to introduce Elise to Thais's family, and Patrick hopes to build a relationship with Carlos, Thais's dad. They are feeding Elise solids for the first time when John comes over. He's visiting from out of town to help put up baby gates. Thais says that she's being nice and John knows that he's welcome there. Thais asks John about his newly minted fiance, Megan, and her daughter. John says he's happily engaged and everyone is good. John then asks about the trip to Brazil and the party for Elise. Thais kind of plays dumb as John says that he likes parties and he'd love to check out Brazil. So John wants to come to Brazil to spend more time with his brother and to be a support when Patrick is dealing with Thais's dad, Carlos. Thais doesn't want any trouble, so she's kind of hesitant about this idea. Thais asks if Patrick wants him to go in front of John, and Patrick doesn't think anything will happen, so he's kind of iffy about, you know, saying yes specifically in front of both of them. Thais asks if Thais says that John is a disaster and that this could be a disaster, but then John says, okay, well, why don't you all just sleep on it? After John leaves, Thais says that she doesn't want John there because it just doesn't make sense. She can't seem to get away from him and she just doesn't want to mix him with her family. Patrick says that he wants to spend time with John and would hope to also see his dad, because his dad is Brazilian, and have John be there too. Patrick says he will ultimately leave it up to Thais, and she feels bad that Patrick wants to have him there and feels like, okay, she'll compromise, so she agrees. She does say that if John messes anything up, it's going to be on Patrick, so Patrick will be in trouble. All right, so I kind of a boring intro segment. I'm sure things will kind of get up and going, but I do actually want to talk about the tell-all for The Single Life, because it was just on last week where John proposed to Megan. So they talk about it on this segment here. And I don't know. What do you think of this engagement? Have you watched The Single Life?
I watched the first part of it and then did not finish it.
You mean the first part of the episode or first part of the season?
No, the first part of the season. Oh, okay. The first part of the season. I watched about half the season and then kind of fell off of it. Mm-hmm. So I did not watch any of the tell-all.
Okay, so did you get to, quote, meet Megan or see Megan at all?
Yes, I did see Megan, yes.
Okay, and what did you think of their relationship?
I mean, I don't really know what was so appealing about her. Like, she was just kind of was, right? I mean, especially for somebody that was like, it was weirdly kind of unbelievably fast. But like, here's just this, I don't know, as far as reality TV, like, there's, I feel like, you know, how many, there's plenty of women out there in similar situations, similar attitudes, similar things that are out there. And he's like, I think I'll just move to San Antonio for this one. It's like, okay, that's something.
I do think that he is weirdly, and I say weirdly, not because I see him as an eternal bachelor at all, but I see him weirdly ready to settle down. The reason why I think it's weird is because he's expressed several times that he doesn't want to be a father, but he seems to be okay with being a stepfather, which to me is like the same-ish. I mean, maybe you missed like kind of the baby phase, but you know, it's the same. You're fathering someone. And especially in this situation where the dad is not in the picture, you are fathering this person full time. So it just seems weird to me that, you know, he was so quick to want to settle down with this person when it didn't seem like he wanted to deal with kids. And I feel like Patrick saw that as well.
Yeah, it was, Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that whole thing that he was talking about. I remember when the parts I saw, he was like, that transition from uncle to dad, right, is like a weird one to handle. And it's like, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is that I felt like, at least part of the season I went, that she wasn't ever really convinced that he wanted to do that either.
Who, Megan?
Yeah, Megan.
Well, okay, the impression that I kind of got was she was going to force this to happen. She had a timeline. She had a mission.
Right, right.
She was going to lead this man on the pathway to marriage. She was going to, you know, forge ahead.
But it seemed like she was doing that to being like, I don't know if this guy wants to be a father, but if he wants to do this, here are the steps that must happen by this time. Like,
yep. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I just, it did feel very fast, but I feel like it was really fast because she was the one forcing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And it was very much, it was ultimatum after ultimatum after ultimatum. Like,
basically. Yeah. And so, I mean, I was a little surprised that he proposed on the tell all. To be honest, I thought he would drag his feet more, but then that made me kind of feel like, obviously, there's not a gun to his head for proposing to her. You know, right. So, I mean, that's a choice. So I know, I think it was last week or the week before, I made mention of, you know, like, they just didn't seem like a very good couple or a good fit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I said that based on, it just seemed that they wanted different things. And if they're both being honest with each other and to us, I guess, you know, then I don't have a problem with them as a couple. It just, I really get the sense that John is being dragged along in this relationship, you know, because of the ultimatums.
Right. But he's also, I don't know, but.
But I mean, at this point, he's choosing. He's choosing because I'm sure and buy a ring and
there's,
you know,
been other ultimatums in other relationships before that he was like, I'm good. Like, you know, I'm sure he's like, we'll even do this and we'll break up. And he's like, been nice knowing you. Fantastic time. And this one was different enough that he decided to go for it, I guess. I'm not sure. Yet again, I'm not sure why. What I am sure about is that this episode was 100% production driven.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
This was, we will have you back on the season on two conditions. One, you go to Brazil, and two, you take John with you. If you do not do those things, you are not on the season.
I find John to be like likable, flaws and all. I'm not saying that he doesn't have flaws, but he's funny to me. Like, his whole
he's a dude. Like, he's a guy.
I like parties.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that was so, everybody was so awkward. Like, there was this scene where Thais was just like, but it doesn't make any sense.
She's,
and it's like, it really doesn't make any sense. But why? But I felt like both her and Patrick were trying so hard not to laugh through that entire scene. Like, he's like, we all know why. And she has to sit here and be like, I don't want him by my family. Like, why? We have to think of a reason that he's going to come.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so that leaves us with the last one, explosive one. This is just wildness, I thought. So, and this is believable wildness to me. This doesn't seem, I don't think she's manufactured. I think she just is wild. So,
but okay, Nicole, but we'll get to it. But I just feel like I don't understand why she's still with him then. Because I feel like there's a visceral hate.
Yes. And that's okay. So we get there. So it's Nicole and Mahmoud, right? So since Mahmoud was in a bad mood and wanted to stay in the apartment instead of coming to the dinner with her friends, Nicole is going to that dinner solo. So Nicole tells us that it's only been 2 days that he's been here now, and she didn't expect things to be going this bad. So when she gets there, her friends immediately ask, where's Mahmoud? So she says that he's not coming. And then she just always goes from zero to everything. She's like, oh, he's not coming. Because he wants a divorce. Like, what? because of my dress is too revealing. And then they get up and look at the revet. Whatever the opposite of sugarcoating things are, that's what Nicole does with every situation, every reveal. So she has three friends there. There's, Lindsay and her Olga and Julian. And Julian and Olga are married. And Julian is the only guy there. So she asks, like, why didn't you just change the dress, and she tells him that she laid down the law about how she's going to dress. And ridiculous Mahmood, he went straight for, well, then I want a divorce. So that makes him wrong, right, friends? Right? So at first, they're mostly on her side. Like, it goes, oh, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. But then Julian is like, he got here like 2 days ago, and this is a very different country. Yeah. Maybe give him a little bit of time to adapt first and, like, you know, compromise so you can help him adapt. And maybe then we'll see if that's where things are. And Olga is his wife. Is like, oh, yeah, that's true. Because, you know, when I came here from Ukraine, it was a big adjustment and it's hard to adjust and a lot of things go wrong. So Julian suggests that maybe he can hang out with me. We can hang out man to man. And that way there's no weird, like, you know, women or things. And I can kind of, you know, help him, not help him adjust, but, like, you know, give him some pointers that show him the ropes. So then she's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go and meet him now. Let's just go back to my apartment. So worst decision ever. They all get in separate Ubers to the apartment. And so when she comes there, they're outside waiting for her. So she's somehow trying to convince us that this is just her showing him how America works, which it very much is not, and not some assholeish troll that she's doing. So when they come in, he was asleep. He was asleep in the bedroom when they got there. And she's like, why are you here? I don't know what's going on. And they kind of, like, first wave from the bedroom. And then, again, stress how much this man is a very conservative Muslim who believes that unmarried men and women shouldn't even see each other, let alone touch each other, right? And they come into his bed, these two strange women, give him big hugs and drag him out of the bedroom. And of course, for all this, he's just playing along. Like, he's creeped out completely, right? And they get him outside to the kitchen, and then they start making mixed drinks, which is something else he doesn't partake in or feel comfortable around. And so just super uncomfortable. He's not really saying much. It's super awkward. You know, they're just like, we just wanted to meet you. And he's like, oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's nice. Okay. Yeah. How do you like America? It's fine. Okay. It's great. Right. And then, like, they ask him again. They ask him, why didn't you come to this? Why didn't you come to the dinner? He was like, oh, you know, it's just I'm really tired. I fell asleep. I didn't want to come because I'm tired. Which is when Nicole from across the other side of the room is just like, tell him the truth, you fucking liar. It's like, what?
Wow. Whoa.
She just thinks he's being a liar. He's being nice to her friends instead of being the dick that he is to her all the time. So he's still in front of other people. Just like, oh, well, all right, I'm just going to. And just kind of starts to walk away, just excuses himself to leave. And she's like, that's right, you walk away, you hateful little fuck. And it's like all the friends are just like, oh, God, what have we done here? So where on earth did this come from? This was crazy.
I don't know. I hope mixed drinks are somehow involved in this. But it's just like she has a visceral hatred towards him at this point. And I don't know if anything is going to help this situation other than him completely going the other extreme. And I just feel like it's so hypocritical of her. Like, the fact that Julian had to point out, like, dude's been here for 2 days. You know, you can't. I laid down the law, so he should know by now. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's great. You knew what the law was when you were in Egypt, but it's still took you a very long time to adapt, and you never did adapt. That's why you're back here. And for her to expect the same for Mahmood is just so unfair. And I felt this way from the very beginning. It feels like some kind of weird revenge.
It feels like she's more concerned about giving him his just desserts of, I'm going to turn this around and make this as horrible for you as it was for me, and take it to the extreme to do so. Right. And yeah, just the fact that did she think she was going to bring her friends over and he was going to be like, well, yeah, my wife's a slut and she wears two things that are too revealing and I hate that as a Muslim man and you all suck too and you shouldn't be. Is that what she thought was going to happen? Mm-hmm. Like, he was going to out and out just be a total asshole to all of her friends everywhere? Like, why would she? I don't understand. Like, you don't even know this guy then. Like, this wasn't going to happen. He's not going to. this soft spoken, okay, I'm just going to say things until you guys leave and be really uncomfortable. That's what I would have guessed would have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. And for her to call him like a liar in front of her friends, it's like, who is that serving or helping? Like, aren't you trying to be winning over your friends with him? And it's like, it just seems like this whole interaction was a, okay, I'm done. I'm burning it to the ground. Because why else would you want your friends to hate him as well?
And there's no way if I was a friend and she asked, because it does really seem like she wanted to get her friends on her side, being like, what I want from you guys is to tell me, yeah, you're right. This guy sucks. You should break up with him. You're right. You're the best person in the world. You did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. He's total asshole, right? You don't win that by it just jumping from, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I was tired, to shut up, you little fuck. Like, that's mm-hmm. You're the clearly the one who was being aggressive in that situation. Clearly the one who was like being totally out of pocket. That it's like crazy that you thought does she think that that's going to get her friends on her side? It's just, I don't know what she's doing at all.
Yeah, I don't know what she's doing either. I'm so confused. But like I said, I'm confused because it seems like she just hates him at this point.
Right, but usually it's not to the point where, you know, always that. The opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is apathy, right? Mm-hmm. It's surprising to me that she's not to that point. Whatever, fine. Like, that's when you break up. Like, but she hates him, but also keeps saying she loves him, even though she's clearly – everything you say to this guy says to me, you hate this guy. You hate him so much.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't understand why she still wants to be together. I don't know if she's lying to us and to herself that she does, and she's really just trying to pay him back for Egypt, because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, terrible. All right, so that was all of our groups for this week. It looks like mm-hmm. next week we're going to be adding another couple in there. We didn't see Ed and Liz this week.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it looks like we might have a total of 8, because next week we're going to see who again? I forgot. You just told me.
Alexi and Lauren.
Yes, Alexi and Lauren. Okay, so out of the group we saw this week, who would you say is your student of the week?
I went with Thais for being reasonably compromising in her admittedly fake part of her episode.
Yeah, I went with her as well, you know, kind of playing along. And then also like, okay, I don't want this, but my husband does. So I'll, you know, say yes. And I thought it was really sweet that she thought it was a compromise, when it's like, that's not really a compromise. That's there's no way to get his way.
It's right. A binary. You can't compromise. Well, I don't want him coming to Brazil, so he has to stop in Costa Rica. That doesn't work like that. Like, yeah.
Right. Well, maybe a compromise would be like, well, he's there for a couple of days and not the entire trip.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Which they haven't talked about that much yet. But, right. You know, who knows? Maybe that is part of the compromise. All right. Who would you say is your dunce?
I'm going to say Ashley for literally accusing Manuel of doing the exact same things she was doing the entire time. Like, oh, it looks like the tarot card said somebody is not going to work with the other person. I guess Manuel sucks. It's like, you're not working with him. Listen, yeah.
Poor Manuel over there praying for a piece of bread to just fall from the sky.
Just get the man a can of Pringles or a fruit snack or something, man.
My goodness. Okay, I went with Rob because I felt like he was manipulating this entire situation to make it out so Sophie was the bad guy. Right. And he got her believe in it, too. Just like, OK, like, you're the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like that look. You know, was trying to put it on her. OK, what about your life lesson?
So my life lesson is to Nicole's friends. Going back to her house was never going to be a good situation. Like, if someone doesn't want to see you, don't force yourself on them.
Right.
Like, even the suggestion would be like, well, let's go meet him now. You'd been like, no, that sounds weird. He can meet me when he wants to meet me. Like, that's like, and that was always going to be awkward. Like, why would you go to somebody's house who doesn't want you there? That's wild.
Yeah. My life lesson, or maybe it's more of a life suggestion, is mostly for Emily and Kobe this week. But having some kind of, like, I don't know, public safe word for if you're having a disagreement with your partner, and having some kind of word that just kind of triggers like a, let's change the subject. We will talk about this later.
Yes, or change the subject / leave me alone, and we will come back to this later in private.
Right. Yes. Right. Exactly. So, yeah, maybe that would have helped him out. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think Love After Lockup is coming back next week.
It is coming back on Friday. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we will be back next week on both channels, Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé. So until then.
Yep. See everybody then.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.